Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know, some days are diamonds, some days are rocks, some days are just so damn toxic that they're plutonium. This has kind of been one of those, the last part, the plutonium part. What a booger of a day. I mean, and this is actually kind of relaxing to start up the... fire up the music and get the drum loop going and see folks wandering into the chat room and just kind of put it all behind me. I mean, what? Didn't have to be this way. Didn't have to be a shitty day. But it has been. I mean... a four square stinker. I mean, this day has been so bad. I mean, it's like trying to pick up the clean end of a turd. You just can't do it. Doesn't exist. But I'm going to try to put that out of my mind and be a professional broadcaster, or at least pretend to play one on the internet. And see if we can't scrounge up some Titanic Tuesday. Shall we? Do let's. Because, oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room, where folks are slowly filing in at the beginning of the program. Good evening. If you've never been there before, go to headonradionetwork.com, click chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password. Wander on in where you will be met by Anatole, Jug of Punch, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, where the sun is finally out and he can no longer be made. He no longer has a sad over it raining in Northern California. This is a listener-supported program. We got off to a nice start last night with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge a night early. Thanks to everyone who made that happen. A reminder, new subscribers to the program between now and election night, you know, a week from now, 7 days. Yeah, Halloween was last night, but this is 7 days. This is the terrifying final stretch when we all wait to see if the dirty business of the FBI works. And the FBI it seems to be pretty shameless. Well, both, shall we say. Shameless and shameful. We'll maybe get into that in a little bit. But this is a listener-supported program. Every new subscriber between now and Election Day, courtesy of Ralph's, gets $11 in celebration of our 11 years now, starting our 12th year of internet broadcasting. in celebration of our anniversary that happened just a couple of weeks ago. A week ago. And so everybody gets every new subscriber gets their first month's subscription. $11 added to it. Thank you very kindly to Ralph's for that. And so we'll try to, you know, raise $200 this evening. One at 200, two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6.25, and 64 at $3.13, because we round up from the half a penny there in the ciphering. Yep. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, you are more than welcome so to do. The mailing address for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not to Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid never sees them. That's all Boss Man Wayne stuff. Is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. If you're going to do that, let me know, and I'll let Boss Man Wayne know, and he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the car, and he won't have to take anything with him except maybe, you know, a mashy niblick in case he runs into the exalted grand high noble grand wizard dragon of the clan, because they get their mail there at that UPS store too. Jesus. I kind of shake my head every time I think about that. But it's true. It's true. It's true. So there we go, and hopefully we'll stay ahead of the game and ahead of the curve in terms of fundraising. Yeah, crummy day, lousy day, rotten day, stinking day. It then didn't have to be that way. It started out poorly and went downhill from there. Everybody's okay. It was just one of those rotten ass days. I mean, just nothing. I mean, paid a massive boatload of bills today. And just, this is just a consumer thing. I didn't know this. You know, sometimes I have to add cash money to the PayPal account for various reasons. And it used to be that there was this thing called a Green Dot Money Pack card. And, you know, you paid $4 for it, and whatever amount of money you put in, and then you go to PayPal, you enter it in, blah, 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 and boom, there's the money. Well, apparently there were fraud problems associated with that. And so it went the way of all flesh. And now there's something out there called the PayPal My Cash card. Again, you pay $3.95 for the card. Put the cash on it, and then it's supposed to be, you know, flawless. And I offer this to you as a consumer alert. They do not tell you when you go to do this. There's no notification there on the rack where you take the card off the rack, or there's no notification there. The clerk doesn't say anything to you. Only after you've received your receipt that has in bold letters on it, all transactions are non-refundable. Do you look down and you see the notation, activation may not take place for up to 24 hours. So where before, with that previous Green Dot Money Pack card, it was instantaneous, now it can take up to 24 hours. And they provide you no notice of that before you make the mistake of doing what it, right. And so then you spend hours on the phone trying to get that sorted out, while the folks that administer those cards just merrily steals your life from you. And that's been part of what made today a very, very crummy day. Other parts of it, well, I won't go into it. Suffice to say, it was just brutally frustrating, and I am worn the hell out. And in a way, and this isn't me just pouring out my troubles to you, it's just another day. Other people have had far worse days than today all over the planet. And so there's nothing particularly special about it. but it's, you know, it's this day at this time is what I'm getting at. Election fatigue has become for me palpable. It's tactile. I just, with 1 week to go, I just feel like I've been ground. And I know a lot of you do too. So this is just by way, I guess, of some commiseration. Because you just feel like you're being twisted, and you know, like when you twist metal or something, the process of twisting generates heat, and it's just twisted and hot, and grim, and tired and exhausted, and sad. All of those things. I'm tired of looking at my, of looking at Facebook posts and Twitter posts and politics, 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 and not even substantive discussions, just nasty. So I apologize if I've just, you know, grimmed the program up all to hell. But, I mean, that's my reality, and I imagine at least some portion of that reality is yours. And I was thinking about it earlier, and one of the worst things about this grim emotional tenor, that psychological abuse that surrounds this election, is what I fear its ultimate effect may be. I mean, I don't know anybody who says, boy, I sure am enjoying this election season. Right, left, Trump, Clinton, even members of the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry are worn out and exhausted. I mean, the filth and the degradation is relentless. And the summary effect of it, I fear, is going to be to make the American people past agnostic about self-government and perhaps just outright willing to forego the notion altogether. And although I realize it probably sounds more than a little bit paranoid, I can't help thinking that that is by design. If we can just get people to give up on the idea of self-government, then we can be ruled instead of governed. If in certain quarters of the political world we can be made to think that everybody is corrupt and they're all just dirty and there's no way forward that isn't mired in filth, then hey, we can be ruled instead of governed. My father and mother and my grandparents before them, well, my grandmothers when they were finally allowed to vote, that is, went to the polling place with a spring in their steps and a smile on their faces. It was exciting. It was important. I mean, I was taught that it was not just my duty to vote and my right to vote, but it was a matter of personal integrity and honor to vote. Well, look around you, because I've looked around me. Where is the integrity? Where is the honor in the process? How honorable is a process that is manipulated in order to keep people from voting? And again, I can't help thinking that that's by design. In some cases, like North Carolina, the Republicans admitted it was by design. There were too many people of the wrong skin tone voting, and they didn't like it, and they don't want them to vote. So if you can't stop it outright, you come up with subterfuge. Or misdirection. Or maybe you even say, make the process so nasty, so vile, that people give up on the process. And maybe I am entirely wrong. I could be. Because at least by one metric or two, I am. More people tuned in to the presidential pageant debates than ever tuned in before. Early voting has more participants this year than it did 4 years ago. Now, is that because people are voting early just so they can have done with the process and, I don't know, turn over to the Cartoon Network and just kind of leave it there until November 9th? Or are they motivated by this nastiness? I don't know. But of nastiness, there is a full measure. Let's check in with Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. He took to the Twittersphere this afternoon. And by the way, I'm going to use a word here, or an approximation of a word here, that is deemed and understood to be nasty, a vile epithet. In his tweet this afternoon, Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, naturally a Republican, it was tweeting about poll numbers. Pennsylvania, new Auto Alliance poll, Trump 44, Cunt 43, Go Trump, Go. Now, Now, of course, Sid Miller is a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist Republican. He's a teabagger and a Trumpanzee. And when people started pointing out just how nasty that was, of course, being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Trumpanzee, Sid Miller said, why, I didn't send that. My account was, my Twitter account was hacked. Being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Republican, teabagger, Trumpanzee, he was, of course, lying. Then he backed off the I done been hacked defense and said, it was on a staff, one of my staffers did that. And didn't notice the offensive word. These are the people who claim to occupy the moral high ground in this once great nation. Yeah. And it does. It goes on and on and on. And I guess we're just supposed to say, well, you know, these things happen. The emotions run high. I'm sure he only used that vile word because he's speaking up for all the economically disadvantaged, angry white-wing voters who are upset about their economic disadvantage. Sure. Why not? I mean, you know, because upset. And they'll keep at it. They'll keep at it until and after the election next Tuesday. Yeah. And I'll be, to be quite candid, I mentioned it last night on the program, I really am quite worried about Hillary Clinton. I fear for her safety. The gunned up Trumpanzees are in a white, and I do mean white, hot fury. And I just hope she's getting sufficient protection. Because I'm not ready for anything like that. You got a sitting member of the United States Senate, Richard Burr from North Carolina, who is telling people he's surprised that pictures of Hillary don't have a bullseye on it. And, of course, the couple of occasions when Trump has suggested that maybe somebody might want to squeeze off a few rounds in her direction. Yeah. It's mean, and it is real as hell. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, I'm not bringing you down. I hope I'm just sort of reflecting what what many of us are feeling. And we can certainly talk about it later. I mentioned the FBI. Nice bunch. Get this. Today, seven days before the election, the FBI inexplicably did a document dump of stuff having to do with Bill Clinton's pardon of Mark Rich. You will not get any defense of Mark Rich out of me. Now, he was known for being an evil bastard in other quarters, but he was particularly loathed in West Virginia for what he did to a company called Ravenswood Aluminum. He was the author of a lockout there and the destruction of the aluminum workers local. Brian Fallon, who is a spokesperson for the Clinton Foundation, said, absent a Freedom of Information Act litigation deadline, this is odd. Will FBI be posting docs on Trump's housing discrimination in the 70s? No. That won't happen any more than WikiLeaks is going to release a document dump of his email or the RNC's. James Comey has gone completely over to the dark side. And has done so absolutely unapologetically. And there's no explanation for it. 7 days from the election. All we can do is hang on. Grab the oh shit bar or the Jesus handle there in the passenger seat and just take the ride. There's nastiness already taking place at polling sites. Saratoga Springs, Utah. A guy showed up in his Make America Great Again hat. Where poll workers and police spoke to an individual named Ty P. Ho, the hat with the Make America Great Again on it constituted electioneering, which is a violation of the law in almost every state. When they told him to take off his Trump hat because it's electioneering, he refused. Then he called the county clerk's office and was later told that his hat was not electioneering because it didn't actually have Trump's name on it. Later he said, police took me outside into the parking lot and asked, why are you wearing that hat? Inside, it's electioneering. And then wrote him a ticket for what he described as having an attitude. And the thing is, if he was had been 150 feet away from the polling place, there would have been no problem. Because, well, you know, it really is kind of silly to say that just because Trump's name isn't on a hat that says Make America Great Again, that no one really understands that that could be anybody. Oh, and by the way, if Hillary Clinton should pull out a victory, of which, unlike Scott in San Diego, I am not nearly as certain. When she doesn't offer the directorship of the FBI to James Comey, you realize there will be congressional hearings into her political corruption for not doing so. Bob, they can't do that. They can do anything they want. Because they're Republicans, and they're in the majority in the House, and IOKIYAR. Medford, Massachusetts, the head of the cop union there, Harold McGillivray, showed up in a photograph. It's just a big joke. with a person wearing prison orange and a Hillary mask. Those were Halloween costumes. It was meant totally as a joke. I apologize if this offended anyone in any way. I never expected this sort of reaction. It was poor judgment on my part. The individual in the Hillary mask is, like I said, in prison orange and wearing shackles on, presumably, her wrists. The mistake, the exercise of poor judgment, was also posted to the Medford Police Patrolmen's Association's Facebook page. And then it was removed after it was, after it caused a stink. I guess we're just cataloging how awful things are. Maybe that's the upshot of me having an awful day. I apologize. There's other stuff going on in the world. Decidedly other stuff. Oh, hey, look. It's Bro Fro Mix. Rick Sanctum Santorum. Once again, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, paleo-Roman Catholic, amosexual fundamentalist. And he's, he's upset with John Kasich. Why? Because John Kasich won't vote, or says he won't vote, it's up to you whether you believe him, for Donald Trump.
Joining me now, a former rival of Donald Trump's during the primary season and now a supporter, former Senator Rick Santorum of the great state of Pennsylvania. Senator, always great to have you on. Welcome back.
Thanks, Brooke. Good to be on.
So since we, heard from Arwa there in Iraq, I just wanted to begin there. Donald Trump, you can give the man a lot of credit when it comes to how he talks about the economy and business. But, Senator, when it comes to Iraq and Syria and war, he has no personal experience. He has no credibility. So my question is, are you comfortable with him using that kind of language?
Well, I'm comfortable with the language saying that we gave away Mosul. We certainly did that. I mean, that's a fact that we had control of Mosul, and had we developed a status of forces agreement, we would have kept troops in place, and we wouldn't have ISIS, and we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So.
And just for quickies, This, by the way, is from CNN. Just on the quickie quick, if we'd signed a status of forces agreement, we wouldn't have lost Mosul. That's his claim. And who didn't complete the status of forces agreement? Hillary! No, wrong. Wrong. That Kenyan Muslim, you slurper! Wrong again. That's right. It was Dim Leader and Count Dicula who could not complete the status of forces agreement and arranged for the withdrawal of troops from Iraq, which, by the way, was the right thing to do, because no nation that says the things about itself that we say about ourselves here in this country needs to be in the country occupying business. I mean, what did Rick Santorum want to do? Just stay there forever and eventually offer Iraq statehood? Yeah, I don't think so. But, right, we lost Mosul because... But, you know, he's essentially a dishonest human being. Well, okay, he's a dishonest thing. Does he get called on that? Huh? Brooke Baldwin? Are you going to call him on that?
So I absolutely fully embrace that comment. As far as giving warning is concerned, look, there's always a school of thought as to, you know, how you organize an attack and when you launch an attack and how much warning, quote, you give. And there are generals who have been critical of the way this has been conducted. So I don't think it's an outrageous thing for him. I'm not sure it's his strongest point, but there certainly is credible evidence to suggest that, planning and foreshadowing the attack and that far ahead was not the smartest thing to do.
Okay. Back here at home, this campaign, you and I haven't spoken since that Access Hollywood tape came out. I mean, I know I've met your daughter here on set. I remember one time. You are a man of faith. You are a man of family and honor. Are you, when it comes to Donald Trump's character, are you?
You know, I don't think I'd offer that necessarily offer that up as a statement of fact that he's a man of faith and character and honor. He's a man who tries to portray to the world that he's a man of faith and character and honor. But ever so many times in his hate-filled life, he has proven himself to be the exact opposite. So how about a few less gimmies there, Brooke?
100% comfortable with him.
No, I'm not comfortable with some of the things that he says and some of the things that he's done. I mean, I find it disgusting and not going to do anything publicly or otherwise to try to make excuses for it.
Except
when I look at this race, I see candidates, both from a character point of view, who have some serious problems. Hillary Clinton has serious problems telling the truth and secrecy and pay for play and all the other things that come with being an insider in Washington, D.C. and making, by the way, hundreds of millions of dollars doing it. And I look at Donald Trump and I see, just as you mentioned, a man whose character is not exactly what I want to recommend to my kids to emulate. So I've got problems with both on character.
Did you ever, though, Senator, rethink or give it a good long think, you know, your support of Mr. Trump and conversations I'm sure you might have had with your daughters on this when it broke?
No, because, you know, I don't want my daughters to emulate Hillary Clinton either. I mean, this is someone who I find not just on a...
Yeah, because Hillary Clinton is every bit as morally compromised as Donald Trump. I mean, it's 50% one way or the other. Same, right?
Character deeply flawed, but also on public policy. See, it comes down to one of them is going to be president. I mean, they're not going to be head of the garden club. I mean, they're going to be running the
country.
We're
talking about the leader of the free world here.
Right. And so I'm going to look at their policies. I think both of them have character issues and that are problematic. But what I do know is that Hillary policies are dangerous for this country. Her policies, her national security policies, are incredibly dangerous. I spoke to a Jewish group.
Okay. Hillary Clinton's dangerous for America. You mean like telling NATO and our other allies that we won't live up to our treaty agreements unless they pay protection money? That kind of dangerous? Or suggesting that maybe it would be nice if we could expand the little nuclear neighborhood and a few more folks could have them some nukes. Maybe our dear friends, the noble, majestic, serene graciousnesses of the royal house of Saud. Yeah, wouldn't you love for them to have some nukes? Yeah, her policies are dangerous. Huh. Oddly enough, the nuke, that's Trump policy in that. Well, maybe you'll use dangerous, but that's terrifying. Just say it.
A couple of nights ago, and I just couldn't be more clear. Hillary Clinton is going to continue the policy of giving Iran a nuclear weapon, whether it's in a year or 2 years or under the agreement in 10 years, which will threaten the existence of the state of Israel.
Only it won't, because the state of Israel has nukes of its own. And so then Iran, well, on the day that they get one, if they get one, which they haven't because of the agreement that we struck, on the day that they get one, they will have one, and Israel will have them outnumbered 200 to 1 or 400 to 1 or 1,000 to 1. It doesn't make for much in the way of that locked embrace that is known as mutual assured destruction. But at least both sides will know that they are each staring into the abyss. Yeah, see, Gerald noting, Hillary's policies are dangerous, as opposed to nuke them all and let God sort them out? That kind of dangerous? Yeah. And by the way, Asa pointed out something. Before moving on with Bro Fromix, which I did, why not take a moment to address the Brooke Baldwin statement about you can give Trump a lot of credit for what he says about business and the economy. Yeah, because that was another one of those gimmies that he didn't deserve. That was, and I don't want to put too fine a point on it, bullshit. As Samantha Bee noted, if Donald Trump had invented racism, it would have been bankrupt years ago. Donald Trump is not a brilliant businessman. He's the Kim Kardashian of the business world. The high visibility, flash and glitz business world. All form, no substance. Yeah. But do continue, Bro Fromix.
That is a serious policy flaw, and Donald Trump has said, we're not going to let that happen. That, to me, are the things that, unfortunately, are not being talked about on CNN, are not being talked about on Fox, not being talked about on MSNBC or any of the networks, because we're talking about all these character flaws. And yes, we have two deeply flawed character candidates with character. That's why their unpopularity is so high. But when it comes to the issues, I'm going to support the candidate who I think has a better chance of putting a path forward for American workers to get good-paying jobs. I think Trump has a much more solid plan than that. Someone who I think is going to do a better job in defending this country and keeping our country safe. And that's where I'm for Trump.
Yeah, and they were. I was listening to both Mike Pence and Donald Trump today. They stayed on the issue. They were talking about Obamacare in Pennsylvania, and I also
heard, Obamacare's huge disaster in Pennsylvania.
I know, and this is you would know.
Really, you know, Brooke Baldwin? Oh, Obamacare's a huge disaster in Pennsylvania. So it's a disaster that people that working people who aren't particularly wealthy can go to the doctor when they're sick. It's a huge disaster. Oh, I know. Well, Brookie, I got a sneaking suspicion you're not on Medicaid. So you have no goddamned idea Brooke Baldwin. What a disaster it would be for the working poor to lose their health care coverage. Oh, I know!
And you also would know how that really resonates with a lot of Republicans. But I was also listening to Mike Pence, who was saying today his message to Republicans standing on that stage was, it's time to come home. But, you know, here you have Governor Kasich in Ohio, who isn't even voting for Donald Trump, right? He talks about how he was writing in John McCain. You have the most powerful
By the way, get the hockey puck.
Republican on Capitol Hill, Paul Ryan, who says, you know, yes, he voted for the Republican nominee, but he couldn't even bring himself to say, I voted for Donald Trump. Yeah. So is that the best way to inspire Republicans, your fellow Republicans, this last stretch, come home?
I'm not happy with either John Kasich or Paul Ryan and the way they're conducting themselves, particularly John Kasich. I'm going to say to John Kasich, if you're watching, John, you signed a pledge. You signed a saying that you would support the Republican nominee for president. You signed a pledge in order to get on the ballot in South Carolina. You promised that you would follow through with that. And you knew Donald Trump had a chance, because he was leading the polls at the time, to be our nominee, and you signed it anyway. You can't say a man who's not going to keep his word is someone that, frankly, should be paid attention to when it comes to how he's going to vote. John, you are better than that. John was a dear friend in Congress, and I know John Kasich is better than that. Jeb Bush, I would say the same thing to you. You signed a pledge. I would say the same thing to other candidates who have not stepped forward and said, I'm going to support Donald Trump, because you wouldn't have been on the ballot. You wouldn't have been able to run for president had you not signed that pledge. And if you're out there talking about, well, he has character that's beneath the dignity of the office, what about that character? What about the character? I'm going to tell your kids and your grandkids that you signed a pledge. You gave your word to be president of the United States, to run for president of the United States, and you backed away from it.
Let's maybe save some of those crocodile outrage for another day, shall we? Because people didn't know about the Access Hollywood tape. We had an inkling maybe of just how odious and nasty, vile, vulgar, and filthy Donald Trump is, but only an inkling. But when one's honor is confronted with the contents of the, you know, Access Hollywood tape, or maybe the fact that he's been charged at least in a civil suit, charged as a child rapist, maybe then honor demands that you rethink it. But this freak Santorum's concept of honor is that, well, you know, you signed a pledge for South Carolina. Well, shit, South Carolina swore it would never commit treason against the Union, but that all went up in smoke one night in April 1861. Now, didn't it? Dumbass. Yeah, and Santorum's going to tattle, too. He's going to tell John Kasich's grandchildren. John Kasich should write him a note and say, you get within 100 yards of my grandchildren, and I'll slap you with a protective order, you bizarre, twisted, sick freak, fetus fondler. Yeah, so that too. But I go back to really, the FBI is tweeting 129 pages of Bill Clinton investigation about the pardon of Mark Rich, and like I said, you'll never get a defense of Mark Rich out of me, but you will get this defense out of me. The right of the President of the United States to issue pardons is a constitutional right of the presidency. What in the hell business did the FBI have investigating that in 2001 in the first place? FBI records vault. That's their Twitter handle, by the way. Sheesh. Disgusting. So, if nothing else, we've got stuff to talk about, pretty much. Yeah. I tell you what. Let me see here. Let me take care of some of this. There is news that isn't there's news that isn't politics. Note coming in from Scott and Punky. Santorum's dilemma. I can't help but think that Santorum and the rest of the GOP in power are out. See, the dilemma they could face this way. It's the distinction of either having their sagging scrotums tied into a single knot, Trump win, or a double knot, Hillary win. Either way, for them, it won't be pleasant, and it's going to hurt a lot. I wish I shared your optimism, Scott, because last I checked, this is still the party of look forward and not back. What passes for getting that double knot, and the reason the Republicans go so absolutely just frothing at the mouth crazy is one simple thing. Bill Clinton beat them, and then he beat them again. And then Barack Obama beat them and beat them again. And that's all there is to it. Just plain old, nasty, venal, cheesy, bad sportsmanship for lack of a better term. And that's really all. He beat him and made him like it. And nothing they could do seemed to be able to take that down. Meanwhile, Todd down in South Carolina, Stan, who of course hails from Eastern PA, said, by the way, Santorum is viewed as a buffoon by Eastern Pennsylvanians. Good. I mean, maybe that's why they threw his ass out of the Senate. Which, of course, when it comes to political experts on cable news networks, or any news network for that matter, shouldn't there be a distinction? I mean, if you retire from the Senate and I have and give the valedictory, I have nobly served the people of Dumbfuckistan, and now I step aside to allow the next generation of leaders to, then, you know, maybe you're an expert, and maybe you're worthy of comment. But if you get your ass handed to you by the people of your state, why do they book this clown? I mean, for whatever it was that Rick Santorum said, hell, Vermin Supreme would have been more eloquent and a damn sight less hypocritical. Yeah, I don't know. B- By the way, do you reckon, and I know it's never going to happen, but do you reckon President Not Sure could ask maybe James Comey for his resignation? Barring that, just fire his ass? Because at this point in time, whatever credibility the FBI had is mostly, you know, toast. Ugh. I don't know. Not getting better either. The FBI in peace and war with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Well, yeah, I know. I realize that, Marty. Marty says, yeah, and then Comey becomes another right-wing martyr. But as I pointed out, if he doesn't become direct, if he doesn't get to be director of the FBI in a Hillary Clinton administration, he's a martyr anyway. The only way he's not a martyr is if he doesn't get a job in a Trump administration. Because I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Right? So let's take a little break, shall we? Hey, thanks. Just here in the last couple of minutes, good things happening. Thank you to... thank you to Kath. And thank you to Jay. We are only $115 away from having our fundraising goal met for the evening. Thank you both very kindly. Oh, I really? It's a term? Okay. Yeah. Clue me in. Yeah, Scott pointed out... Comey is in for a 10-year term, which started September 4th, 2013. It's a term now? How did I miss that? Ah, can't know everything. Yeah, he can still resign. Or, you know, fall on a sword. That'd be a rubber sword. They save the real steel for, you know, the people who want to protest having their water poisoned. Yep. Okay. We will take a break. This is Conversation Radio. I gotta admit, I'm kind of running on fumes. My crummy day just really, really sapped me. But if you want to engage in some conversation, you know the numbers, right? 304-574-8178. Or the newly revamped Stress Line, named in honor and memory of Bill Mr. Stress Miller. 304-663-4676. And it sounded pretty good last night when Todd called in. Scott telling me the FBI term limits came as a result of the abuses of J. Edgar Hoover's long reign and some of the FBI-related mischief during Watergate. Maybe I knew it and forgot. I don't know. But at any rate, let's take a break. By the way, from anywhere on the planet, if you'd like to get in touch that way, Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N. CAIDHORN. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, this is The Horn. We'll be back. Hey, Green News Report on the way, too.
Tuesday, November 1, 2016.
It'd be hard to probably extinguish this. They'll probably just have to allow it to burn.
Massive pipeline explosion in Alabama injures 7. Unarmed Dakota Access Pipeline protesters maced and arrested, while armed occupiers in Oregon go free. 300 million kids breathe dangerously polluted air, according to UNICEF. Plus, it's official, the largest earthquake on record in Kansas was caused by fracking injection well.
What is the matter with Kansas? All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I got a great costume this year. I'm going to terrify Republicans. I'm going as a science book.
That is scary. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, here we go again. Another pipeline explosion, and this, we think, very same pipeline just had problems months ago.
That's right. At least 7 workers were severely burned by an explosion on what officials believe is part of the nation's largest gasoline pipeline. That was late Monday afternoon in Shelby County, Alabama. A 3-mile radius around the blaze has been evacuated because the area is in a severe drought, and the explosion started several additional fires in the area. The fire is so intense, according to Alabama Governor Robert Bentley in an interview with local WSB-TV, that as we go to air, the state still doesn't know exactly which of 2 pipelines is involved.
We don't know if it's the one that ruptured or the one next to it, and we don't even know what type of fuel is in it. But there was some type of explosion. It appears to have been an accident.
Bloomberg News reports that the explosion was located about a mile away from what you mentioned, that massive gasoline pipeline spill in September. Remember that one? It triggered gasoline shortages up and down the East Coast. Both pipelines that may be involved are owned by the same company, Colonial Pipeline, which has already reported 5 spills in Alabama in 2016.
And we were lucky with the previous rupture in that it happened to leak into an old containment pond from a mining operation. Otherwise, that could have polluted the waters all around this very rural area. And now we have an explosion from this same company, Colonial Pipeline. I guess we have to report that there was no explosions at any solar farms. There were no wind spills from wind turbines. But these fossil fuel operations keep blowing up and keep killing people.
Meanwhile, in North Dakota, authorities on Friday used rubber bullets and mace to remove protesters blocking construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation.
Why would they be against pipelines? What could possibly go wrong with them?
In a statement following the arrests, Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairman David Archambault again called for the pipeline company to reroute the pipeline away from the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and its sole drinking water source, the Missouri River. More than 400 have been arrested so far over the course of the months-long protest. And on the same day as the armed police response to the Dakota Access protesters over in Oregon, an all-white jury acquitted Amon Bundy and several of his fellow militia members on charges stemming from their armed takeover of the federal Malheur Wildlife Refuge that damaged the crucial wild bird sanctuary. The Audubon Society responded to the verdict saying, quote, "Wild lands belong to all of us, not the people who hold them at gunpoint."
Well, apparently if you hold them at gunpoint, you're off the hook. If you protest peacefully, watch out, they're bringing in the militarized vehicles and tear gas.
In Kansas, the U.S. Geological Survey has now announced that the largest earthquake ever recorded in Kansas, a 4.9 in 2014, was due to fracking wastewater injection wells. That is the second half of the fracking process in which toxic fracking wastewater is pumped into deep underground wells, which geologists say causes earthquake faults to slip. The Wichita Eagle reports that Kansas has now seen fewer earthquakes since because state regulators have ordered cutbacks to injection wells. 300 million kids breathe dangerously polluted air caused primarily by fossil fuels. That's a new analysis by the United Nations Children's Fund. It utilized satellite imagery to calculate the extent of pollution and found that the vast majority of the children exposed to the worst air pollution live in South Asia. In total, they say about 2 billion children around the world live in places where air pollution is above levels that the World Health Organization labels unhealthy. Finally, some good news.
Well, you took your time with that.
After years of negotiations, nations have finally agreed to establish the world's largest marine sanctuary in Antarctica's Ross Sea. It's considered the last great wilderness area on Earth. When the agreement comes into force next month, in December, 72% of the sanctuary will be a 100% no-take zone, meaning all fishing activities are forbidden. The remaining sections will permit some harvesting for scientific research.
Is this larger than the marine sanctuary that Barack Obama established a month or two ago?
Yep.
Near Hawaii?
Yes.
What was the name of that one?
Oh, I ain't going to try to pronounce that.
I hardly blame you. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Papahanu Mokua Kea.
Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
A little update to, I guess the numbers were the way they were when they put the Green News Report to bed. But as of now, there is one dead and five injured in that gas pipeline explosion in Talabama. And, of course, Talabama is a Republican state where they hate them job-killing regulations. So, naturally, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, it's a kind of a skeleton crew, and really they don't have what they necessarily need to even enforce the few job-killing regulations that they're allowed to have. And so pipelines go boom, and people go dead because freedom. Right? Yep. Colonial Pipeline said, they issued the following statement. Our deepest condolences go out tonight to the family and friends of the person who was lost today, and our thoughts and prayers are with those who were injured. We deny all ideas or charges or concepts or inklings of negligence, however, and we'll fight to the goddamn death anybody who tries to collect a single, solitary, thin little penny from us. Goddamn mooches. But our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of the person who was lost today. Lost. 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 Not dead. Not killed. Not blown up or burned to a cinder. Lost. We put him somewhere and now we can't find him. Goodness me, mercy sakes. Jesus. Oh, and I need to update fundraising because I failed to take something into account. Our first of the month subscriptions hit last night. And so that means we are actually only $40. Wait. Yeah, we're only $40 away from completing fundraising for the evening. Thank you very kindly to Smitty and to Randy. And thank you very kindly to Jim. That shows the power of our recurring monthly subscriptions. That's a big difference. And much, much appreciated indeed. Oh, by the way... Alabama, by the way, they're in the middle of a drought. In Alabama, there's a statewide ban on burning, except for, having your pipeline explode. The Alabama Forestry Service said yesterday that it was spending all its time fighting forest fires, and there have been more than 1,000 fires in Talabama in the last month. But, of course, Alabama has not been touched because it's a vicious hoax perpetrated by a conspiracy of scientists along with the inscrutable Chinese by climate change. And thanks to everybody, thanks to Bruce, and to Gerald, and to Jay, for letting me know that yes, it is a 10-year term for the FBI director, but he serves at the will and pleasure of the president, and can be canned. And on November 9th, if we are not referring to former FBI Director James Comey, well, then that's just another, another job for the Secretary of Jesus, Barack. All right. Yeah, Bruce pointing out that the president is not limited statutorily from firing the director during his tenure. Can't do that before the election, of course, you understand. I mean, there's ever so many things that you can't do before the election. who can't be running around investigating Donald Trump or, you know, spending time talking about the child rape case. Bless her heart, for-profit media once in a while gets something right. Joy Behar over on The View asked the question, I guess, today, why is it we're talking about emails and not talking about Trump's rape allegations? Because Hillary. Yep. Let's run over to the stress line and see if it works as well for Jim in Louisiana, Stan, as it did for Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Are you there, Jim?
Yeah, I am. How's it working?
It sounds great.
Yeah, and you sound surprisingly good, too, because usually, I mean, I'm on my cell phone, and used to be when I'd call in, I could barely hear you. I kind of could, but not really, you know.
I think I need to tweak it a little bit. When I checked it, the audio coming through was a little bit boomy, but I don't know how much I can do to ameliorate that.
Well, for me?
Well, yeah, for whoever's on the other end of the line.
How's it coming through now?
Oh, you're great. You sound great.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
so maybe I mean, that's one less burr under the saddle, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think that thing that's going on in North Dakota is horrible, but the thing in Alabama, you know, I'm to the point, fuck it, you know, good. You want that kind of oil and money, and they got plenty of that in Louisiana, don't get me wrong. But that kind of shit's going to happen, especially, you know, when you get rid of the god-awful regulations. You know, you can't have any rules. I mean, I wish they would do football games like that. No rules. You know, no out of bounds, no downs, no time. You know what I mean? Imagine if they did that.
Right. I mean, you can just run all over the field and it's just a free-for-all and people have to, you know, chase ball carriers into the stands. Man, that would make it exciting.
Yeah, it would be free market football.
That's, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, you get one of those for that. Free market football.
Oh. Free market football. FM.
Yeah, FMFL, the Free Market Football League.
Yeah.
You know what? In the Free Market Football League, maybe they could use baseball bats.
Of course. Maybe even firearms. Why not that?
Well, I mean, firearms are already allowed in some stadiums, like, you know, I think Ohio. Maybe Tennessee.
That's like I saw an article on the internet. I think it was on the New York Times or something, but I didn't read the whole thing. Usually I just kind of read part of it. But it was about the violence at football games.
Oh, another fan was beaten half to death, I think, at a Ravens game a couple of weeks ago. Todd up in Maryland mentioned that to me. You know, horrifying, horrifying. But it, you know, what you're talking about kind of calls to mind. Maybe you even remember it. We're of a certain age. Years and years and years ago, there was a Sports Illustrated subscription ad that ran on TV that showed Steve Garvey of the Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, Mr. Clean, and Lyle Alzado, who is now long since dead, of the Oakland Raiders, who was known as being probably the dirtiest player in football. And Steve Garvey was standing...
And praised for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Steve Garvey was standing there with a baseball bat, and Lyle Alzado looks at him and says, "They let you use those?" Steve Garvey goes, "Yeah, all the time." Lyle Alzado looks, "I got to get one of those." You know, a ball bat.
Well, I mean, I used to be the hugest football fan I ever was, but and I think I've kind of said this before, but it's got to keep it short. I mean, after the Saints won the Super Bowl, that was great. But then I realized that's just a corporation in the city I was born in, and it really didn't. It was really kind of, you know, kind of an evolutionary thing. And I still watch football, but less and less because it doesn't really matter to me, you know. It's just corporations with the, you know. And I noticed how the games have gotten close. I mean, I watched the Saints and they won. It was a damn good game, but it's real close. I wonder if they're even tweaking it to make it look closer, to make it more interesting. You know, maybe it's a conspiracy, but I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, you know.
No, and I, you know, I've said it before, as football is concerned, I get a heck of a lot more fun out of watching college football than I do pro. Although the Sunday night game was pretty good, even though it ended unhappily for me. I was really hoping the Eagles would pull it off against the Cowboys there in the Jerry Dome, but it was not to be. And it, yeah, pretty dramatic ending.
Well, y'all only lost one game, y'all, from what I've
Well, yeah, the Mountaineers, of course. We lost to Oklahoma State on Saturday. And, you know, we wouldn't have if they would just put handles on the goddamn football. Because we couldn't hold on to it. I don't know if maybe that was the extra, we mistakenly brought the extra slick footballs or what. But, no, three damn turnovers that resulted in 17 points. We lost by 17 points, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, wow. Kelly, you know, football games are always 20-20, especially in hindsight. I don't know if you realize that.
Absolutely.
But, and then the thing going on in North Dakota, or was it South Dakota, North Dakota?
North Dakota.
I said this, I touched on this Friday. It's a travesty, dude. I mean, it is so in your face to me what they're doing. And the thing is, they're totally oblivious to, like, the relatively long term, and it's probably short term, it's consequences of all that drilling and stuff. And you know there's going to be pipe spills once they're not drilling the drain, the pipes, they're going to leak. And the indigenous people are going to get screwed over again. Surprise. And one died, right? You told me that one died.
Oh, well, yeah, in Alabama, one dead, five injured.
Oh, I thought it was in
no.
Dakota.
No. It's Alabama. And when you're one of five people injured in a gas pipeline explosion, there aren't many small injuries that come out of gas pipeline explosions.
No, it's that's how they and the thing is, the state's so in the work. I mean, and jobs, I'm sure, pay pretty well, but yeah, as I've learned, companies I work for, you're just an external cost, and if they can get rid of you, and not necessarily, and I don't mean kill you per se or have you die, but if they can replace you, you are replaced. It's like another article I saw about a lot more jobs becoming, you know, they don't need humans for, but then if humans don't have money to spend, I don't know what they're going to do.
No, and you know, what's the long term damage from that? I mean, they spilled 250,000 gallons of, you know, gasoline, not crude, but gasoline, a month ago. And what's the long? I mean, what's the long term impact of that?
I don't know, but I got the theme song, putting out the fire with gasoline. There you go, boom, little David Bowie.
Little David Bowie, absolutely.
But I don't know, man. I was so hopeful when Bernie had a chance, and I'm really, this is me, and I don't mean to infect the rest of the horn slash Molloy family, but I'm getting real, I don't care, I don't give a fuck, you know? Just go ahead.
Well, and as I said at the beginning of the program, I think there are a lot of people who are just exhausted with the process. And that too is by design, because if you can get people to give up on the process, then eventually you can transform this republic into an autocratic dictatorship, which is what the Republicans have wanted all along, or a lot of little petty dictatorships from state to state to state, and just enough of a federal government to maintain a military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's never – I don't see that ever going away. I wish it were, but, I mean, we got seven wars going on right now, last I heard. It's like the old Fischer song from Woodstock, plenty of good money to be made, supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just hope and pray when they drop the bomb, they drop it on Vietnam. But we wouldn't want to do that now because Vietnam's one of – we're kind of making friends with Vietnam, I saw a while back. Against China. That's the other thing. I hope, although I doubt very seriously, Obama doesn't. I hope somehow the TPP gets rejected, although I don't see that happening. But I think Obama's going to sign that on the do a lame duck thing. What do you think about that? Do you think?
It can't be done. It can't be, as I understand it. It cannot be done unilaterally. I mean, the Congress has been neutered to a certain extent, but not completely. And if he signs that on the way out the door, I'll be very disappointed in him.
I'm already pretty disappointed. I mean, he's done some good things, but I mean, maybe this is part of my. Semi-despondent mode right now. This is just SOP. But you're probably right. There's still some safeguards they haven't gotten rid of yet. But it seems like they've slowly chipped away at those too. I mean, I can't think of anything offhand. I'm not the legal laureate that you are, or at least you're a legal laureate compared to me. Of course, it's not saying a whole lot, but. I don't know. I just see it. Doesn't look good, man. So, I don't know. I did my little rant. I can't think of anything else to rant about. I really wish somehow. Well, I know the regular media is not. I saw a nice piece on the Young Turks about. The stuff going on in the Dakotas, and it's on Twitter, on YouTube. Other than that, I'm gonna let you go. Let somebody else get to that. I kind of did my little rant. I didn't have a whole big long semi agenda rant, so. I'll go ahead and disconnect and let somebody else get through.
All right, sounds good. Jim, you have yourself a good evening down there.
Double back at you.
All right, later. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. We're halfway through the program this evening. We've got $40 to go in fundraising for the evening to keep on track. And that would be mightily helpful. All right, we'll stay with politics for a minute. But we're going to stay with politics of a different sort. Because, you know, as I have found out over the last few months, I am, the unicorn cavalry will waste no time in telling you what your progressive shortcomings are, or your bona fides. And they get to. Because, you know, they're ideologically pure. And, of course, their leader is the most ideologically pure candidate ever to run, albeit marginally and poorly, for office, you know, Jill Stein. Well, Jill Stein is not living on beans or rice. Jill Stein is quite wealthy. and she is heavily invested in either index funds or mutual funds. Let's see. Who does... Now remember, Jill Stein, she's got ideologically pure positions on all the issues that matter to progressives. That's why she has invested somewhere between $995,000 and $2.2 million in the Vanguard 500 fund. The Vanguard 500 fund, in turn, is deeply invested in, hey, look, Exxon and Chevron and Duke Energy, you know, that burns a bunch of mountaintop removal coal and then stores the ash in dams that fail and poison rivers. Yeah. ConocoPhillips. She's invested in ConocoPhillips. Toho Gas. Oh, they're a Lulu. That's a Japanese company, and they sell natural gas, tar, and coke. Coke is a partially combusted form of coal that where the impurities are burned out. It's almost like pure carbon. She's invested in J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup, Deutsche Bank. How about that? She's invested in Goldman Sachs. Yeah, I know. Oh, and look, she's invested in Merck. Merck got busted for overbilling Medicaid in one of the biggest Medicaid fraud cases ever. She's got a position in Pfizer and Novartis and Johnson & Johnson and Allergan. Uh-huh. Oh, mercy sakes. She's up to her eyeballs in Philip Morris. Call for Philip Morris. That was the ad once upon a time for Philip Morris brand cigarettes before their number one brand became Marlboro. Mm-hmm. She's invested in a fund, and parts of her money go into Raytheon Corporation, builders of some of America's finest drones. Oh, well. Stop telling people how to invest, Bob. Wake up, sheeple. I mean, I just thought I'd pass that along, mention it. So there you go. Listen, if you want to engage in conversation, you're more than welcome to. You know the numbers, 304-574-8178, 304-663-4676. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Hey, there's something cute. One of the Koch brothers dressed up as Darth Vader for Halloween. And they say irony's dead. Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, by the way, out of the Alabama, the Talabama gas pipeline explosion, you know, that explosion drove gas prices through the roof for folks in places like Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. And it looks like they'll be going back through the roof again. Some more. Because freedom. Free markets. Yeah. Goodness me, could that be? Is it possible? Maybe it is. Thomas? Is that you, Thomas?
Yes, it is. Hey, Hi. Bob. You brought up my favorite subject other than talking about Donald Trump on your show.
Oh, to wit?
Dr. Jill, don't tell me how to vote, Stein.
I know.
Stop
telling people how to hypocrite, Bob.
I saw that story. I did that story on my show last week. We talked about it for about 2 hours, actually. And now, did you see the statement that she put out about how she can't control?
Right. She's just a poor little pitiful thing. She's just invested. She's just a millionaire who's deeply invested in mutual funds and index funds, and she doesn't have any control over it, right, because somebody put a gun to her head and made her invest in those funds. You know, there are clean funds. There are sustainable funds. There are renewability funds. There are not morally repugnant funds, but sometimes they don't perform quite as well as ExxonMobil funds do.
Well, exactly at that. So on my show, you and I are on the same level now with Dr. Stein. Where's my Wi-Fi?
No, we're not, because I'm not invested in Exxon fucking Mobil.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, you and I are on the same level as in we're against.
Quit telling people how to be poor, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that being said. Goddamn Wi-Fi went out again. Stop talking about Jill Stein.
Wait, time out. Okay.
Every time I talk about her, my Wi-Fi goes out. I don't know what it is.
Quit telling people how to Wi-Fi, Thomas. Wake up, sheepo!
Hate mail at doubtingtom@fyrnation.com. I read them all. I haven't gotten one. So you must really love Jill Stein or really love me.
No, we're just past redemption.
Yeah. Well, there's that. I'm going to hell when I die anyway, so that's cool. Seriously, though, you can invest. And, I mean, we have universities and everything in divesting from coal and divesting from Israel and divesting from the industrial military complex. She knows this. She's supposedly an activist in her spare time when she's not running for president. So either she's the dumbest woman on the planet, and I'd like not to think that.
Well, she's Atne Ute Aitbre, if you own a what I mean, May.
Yeah, fair enough. Or she's the most arrogant woman on the planet. I mean,
that too. And she's the most ideologically pure person on the planet too.
Well, when you get ice cream made unicorns as if you're sitting on a squatty body, of course. You know the unicorn poop.
Yes, made of
ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you finally seen that commercial, Bob?
Yes, with sparkle. Oh yes, I've seen it.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, good.
Speaking of Jesus, by the way, just got a note in from Scott and Punky, who turned me onto that article in the first place. He said, the news kind of makes me wish that Jesus would put on his political pundit hat and comment, wait, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21.
Right. You know, yeah. Oh, buried treasure? Ooh.
Quit telling people how to Bible, Bob.
You thumper.
You know, that is one of my nicknames, by the way, Thumper.
Thumper?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you do good, or because? See, there's that goddamn mind of mine. See, we need this conversation, Bob. We certainly need this, because my mind goes places that it shouldn't go, and I'm supposed to be doing show prep, and I heard Jill Stein called, or name called, and the Wi-Fi went off in the house. So, I knew something was wrong immediately.
It's bait. It's bait.
You know, I just, and plus I wanted to thank you for Sunday. I had a really, I had a lovely time with you and Tara. For those who missed it, you missed Bob Kincaid and Tara Devlin on the same show. And it was just beautiful.
I had a blast. I really, really did. It was an absolute tickle fest.
Are you kidding? I just had to sit back and
well, yeah, you dropped your nickel in and walked away.
Yeah, it's just like I didn't have to do nothing. I was just like, hey, I'm executive producing this motherfucker. I felt like
you'd only been on the air for about 9 hours up to then, so you know.
I felt like a Jill Stein investment.
You're not helping yourself. You realize that, right?
I don't care. But I just wanted to call and thank you.
Jill, not Hill, man.
Are there still any? Oh yes, there are. I know some of them listen to my show, and I'd have more. And I do respect them because I consider them friends. But the ones I don't respect are the ones over the weekend. And I talked about this on Sunday. There are people who are putting up photoshopped pictures, supposedly photoshopped pictures of Hillary Clinton rallies, and saying how evil she is. And I'm thinking, why don't you just go canvass for your candidate, man? Just do that instead of whine about photoshopping. I mean, there are other ways to waste your time on a Sunday, aren't there? Like, you know, do a 14-hour radio show.
Yeah, why not?
You know? I mean, that was great having you on. And, but you made my Wi-Fi go off, and now it won't stop ringing in my ear. So thanks for that.
Well, and by the way, you got high praise for something you said a minute ago. Michael in Madison just wrote, subject line, she's supposedly an activist. And Michael says, she's supposedly an activist in her spare time when she's not running for president. That's practically a haiku, Bob. How'd you let that go past without another cowbell? So, you know. And well, and it is. I mean, that is. Michael's got an ear for these kinds of things, and that is damn near a haiku. She's supposedly an activist in her spare time when she's not running for president.
Heather in Michigan, who calls Jules's show, Morning Jules, and my show on a semi-regular basis, who I appreciate, and has called your show as well. Heather has said about Jill Stein, she'll show up when the media is there, but when the media is not there, she's nowhere to be seen. She's like that fucking groundhog that you can't fucking get rid of. It's like, come on.
I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. I got to give me the fight. Oh, singing again.
Yeah, you're going to get it. There's an eye roll. And
yeah,
I'm already getting my roll.
There went the rest of the evening's fundraising.
Well, I know I'm also getting eye rolls for this conversation from Jules, because she gets very mad at me when I talk badly about Dr. Jill Stein.
Jules is not in the chat room right now, so you might be safe.
Okay, but I'm sure somebody, some minion will tell Jules, and I'll be in the doghouse later. So if you want to do that, go ahead. I can take it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But if she's going to be this activist, be the fucking activist. I have a lot more respect for activists that are in the Green Party and maybe not know how to run a party than I do for the leader of the supposed party that doesn't know what the fuck she's doing and but sure as hell knows how to apparently invest.
Goodbye, y'all. I'm off for Columbus. Here, I'm getting on this plane to Cincinnati. We'll see ya.
You know? I mean, what the fuck? I guess you got to be able to roam around the country like a wildebeest somehow, but fuck.
And meanwhile, Clarence just wrote in and said, hey, Bob, the Green Queen can manage her investments. I do it all the time, and I make less than $50,000 a year. So, if it matters, see, if it matters. On the other hand, if what matters is the return on investment, you know, the percentage of growth every year, then maybe she is. That's the thing. Maybe she is managing her investments.
Yes, exactly. And that's the point I made on my show. And it goes to Gary Johnson. It goes to Hillary Clinton. You cannot call Hillary Clinton the devil if you're not going to at least...
Hold on. Wait a minute. The devil!
Yes, thank you.
Happy to help.
Halloween is past, though.
But the reverb's not.
No, that's true. But the gas has been. You can go against the grain, and you can be an activist. Just be a fucking activist. Just be one.
And I mean, I recognize there's a continuum, because this is a capitalist country, and it's and for the most part, it's a capitalist world. And there's a continuum of hypocrisy, and we are all on it. You know, to get all Bible-y again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And you know, I drive a car with an internal combustion engine. I wish I drove an electric car, but I don't. And so, you know, I'm burning hydrocarbons. I'm contributing to global warming. I don't like it. I wish I could not. But it is not an economic possibility. It is not economically feasible for me not to. And that's where capitalism gets you, Thomas. You
exactly.
are forced to participate. But
exactly.
for me, there's a big damn difference between driving an automobile and buying gasoline and burning it and being invested to the tune of somewhere from $500,000 to $2 million in fucking Exxon.
Thank you. You know, I mean, I always had an issue with her. I never quite could deal with her on a level of, like, I like David Cobb. You remember David Cobb? He ran for the Green Party.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was a few times. I liked him. He actually went on and did, he's an activist now. He's an actual activist, you know? I like people who go and then go and they run and they don't win and they go and become an activist. I can respect that. And it's not because he has a penis. Okay. If you can find me someone with her credentials and actually come off like they know what the fuck they're talking about, I would have considered her. But since I can't vote, the thing is mute any damn way because of my clerical error, and I gotta rely on everybody else. So I hope to fuck you all do the right thing and make sure Donald Trump doesn't get in the White House. I mean, it's that simple. Because people like me are fucked. I can't vote. So I gotta hope that you, Bob, as red a state as you're in, and goes and does the right thing. I gotta hope that people that I love and care about go and do the right thing. And X out so many of those Trump pansy votes as we possibly can. Because otherwise we are royally fucked. And these 4 years are going to be a meltdown, and it's going to, you think Brexit is bad. They said all these things that wouldn't happen. You're just being bad and you're just talking bad about Brexit. Stop telling me how to vote about Brexit. Well, you know what? The pound is plummeted. Banks are threatening to leave. Theresa May is making special deals with auto manufacturers to get them to stay. It's bad, Bob. And that's what's going to happen with Trump. And if nobody listens now, and we already have a template, the American people are dumber than I fucking thought. And I hate to even say that. because I shouldn't have to say that. And because we've won wars, we've sent people to the moon, we've saved lives, we've done so many good things. I don't know.
Hey, wait a minute. You said the magic word and the duck just fell down from the ceiling. Hold on. You said bad Bob.
Only real attempt to question the authority of the judge's court occurred the time Bad Bob came to town. Not Dirty Bad Bob in New Mexico, but the original Bad Bob, the mean one, the albino.
Bad Bob's in town. Bad Bob's in town. Wait, I'll go with you.
Don't you ever question what I say.
I think you shot off my toe.
You need the second one open from the big one. You go tell that snake scum judge that I intend to burn his eyes out and feed him to the buzzards. But before I do, I want to eat breakfast. I've ridden a long way and amassed a powerful hunger. Now listen, you tell him to prepare to go to hell. I will send him there directly. Now get!
What about my toe?
Now they match.
Cook it for me. Smother them in onions.
Here it comes, the great line. That wasn't it.
How do you want your horse?
Blue.
How do you want your horse? Blue.
Oh, Lord. See, this is why
I love it. Anytime you say Bad Bob.
Well, I'm glad I did, and I'm glad I called in, and I'm going
to
let somebody...
And by the way, because you got to do your thing, but just so you'll know...
Mm-hmm.
Since the Comey letter,
yes,
Donald Trump's chances have risen over at 538 by 17 points. He's now at 29% chance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, hey,
Ohio is pink, 60% chance for Trump. Iowa, 61% chance for Trump. Arizona, 61% chance for Trump.
I see stupid people.
Nah, I know. Florida is too close to call. North Carolina, too close to call.
I got one of my best listeners, Twin Mom Sue, who listens to my program after yours, Bob, who's calling in sick because she can't take the election for another week. And I don't blame her. I mean, I get out of bed and I got to look through all these Trump stories, and it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? And then worry about what's the day after. You know, it sucks to be a political pundit right now, but I'm glad I have you, and I'm glad you're on this network, and I'm glad that we'll survive and Gitmo together. Speaking of,
I'll be over there under the Southwest guard tower selling Lucy's.
Top bunk or bottom bunk? There.
I'm a bottom bunk guy.
You're a bottom bunk bat guy? All right, so I guess I'm going to have to sleep under you in the... because I've fallen off the top bunk.
Okay.
That's not good.
This is a family program. Let's stay away from the kinky stuff, okay? Nah, this is not a family program.
Well, yeah.
All right, Thomas, you have yourself a good night.
You too, my friend.
All right. Bye now. Our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That clip was from The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Stacy Keach as Bad Bob. Not Bad Bob the New Mexican. Not Dirty Bad Bob. The real Bad Bob. The mean one. Probably ought to add that into an audio montage for the intro to the program. Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? 5 minutes before the hour, yeah, $40 to go in fundraising for the evening. Thanks again. Thanks again to Kath for jumping in, and to Jay as well. Thank you very kindly. Hey, look, could it be? Is it? It might be. I think it's Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, hold on for a second. I'm on the, I don't know how it sounds. I'm on the, the
speaker?
Keep-ass headphones. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. No, it's great.
Is it? Okay, these are the ones that came with the phone. Oh, Thomas is funny. Thomas, I think Thomas had some good points.
He does, yes.
That's why he has a show. But you know what? The first 3 minutes of the Green Report got me fucking depressed again. I mean,
it can happen.
I mean, you're already depressing the fuck enough, right? Then they got to come with this shit. Like, well, we don't know what came out of the pipeline. You know, but there's too much regulation.
Yeah, absolutely. Job killing regulation.
I'm really trying to get past that.
Because regulations. Because regulations kill jobs, while, you know, nice, sweet, innocent pipelines only kill people.
Okay, I worked in a laboratory, like a real laboratory, like with human subjects and with chemicals and
science.
I'm just saying, you're supposed to have placards up that, you know, it's like the international symbols of what you're working with. And how can you have a pipeline and you don't know what's coming? That somebody dropped the ball. That is unacceptable bullshit. That's crazy. How the fuck do you not know what's in the pipeline?
Well, you know, you just trust the company.
No. Fuck that. No. You don't. No, it doesn't matter. No, I'm telling you. Just like when you have a gasoline truck. If you ever notice any chemical truck.
Oh, no. I had a buddy once who actually had the book with all the placards in it. And all the codes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to be posted. I don't know, you know, I guess every state is different, maybe. But they're supposed to be posted. I'm talking out of turn. I don't really know how pipelines work. But if a pipeline is running through your county, okay, it's probably county, rural area in the south. I remember when this shit happened because our gas, I couldn't get any gas. I could not get premium gas for 2 weeks. There was no premium. There was no gas, no gasoline. Then there was just regular. And then it was watery. You know, the car was running funny. The car I was driving was running funny. So what I'm saying is that is bullshit. How do you have shit running through your county and you don't know what's coming from that pipeline?
For starters, the legislature sees to it that you don't know. I mean, it's kind of like fracking fluid, okay? Think about fracking fluid. Nobody can know what's in fracking fluid because it's a proprietary business secret, and if everybody knew what was in the fracking fluid, it would give an unfair advantage to competitors because not all all fracking fluid is not created equal. Some, there's better fracking fluid and not so good fracking fluid. Of course, it's all deadly poison, and the reason for knowing what's in it, Todd, you know this as well better than I do, is so people can know what they're being poisoned by. But that would be bad for business. And as Calvin Coolidge once famously noted many, many years ago, the business of America is business.
Is business.
Well, the business of America is not poisoning people.
You know, they should have the Green Report on these AM channels that all they carry is Fox News at lunchtime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a fumer, because it's not like it is left-leaning, but damn, it's just information. I'm sorry if you don't like it. That's not my problem.
I mean, I was watching a brief little video feed from North Dakota today from a friend of mine, the creator of the documentary To Wisconsin with Love, about you know, water. And Paulette was talking about they participated. She participated, and she's a white woman. She participated in a buffalo butchering. According to the ancient ways of the people who lived and died by the buffalo. And she was tremendously moved by it. And in the course of that, you know, we were talking about, you know, that culture that was based on the buffalo was sustainable for as long as there were buffalo. And that meant thousands upon thousands of years. And that's the thing. Buffaloes have little buffaloes. Hydrocarbon molecules don't have little hydrocarbon molecules. By definition, one is sustainable and one is not.
Exactly. And you know, I brought up Manifest Destiny last night, and that's an Anglo myth. And I forgot to mention some other things that, you know, I get on tangents. But, sustainability. And, you know, we have, so on one hand, you may have toxicity, then you have sustainability. And, you know, when you talked about the pipeline that broke, 2 months ago in Alabama that made us not have any gas, that was gasoline.
Yeah, and that's what exploded here, too. Yeah, right.
So, and I remember, everybody should remember from junior high chemistry class about, they warn you that, you know, when you, you know, I don't know what semester it is, whatever, in your chemistry class. See, anything with a benzene ring is not good for humans. Stay away. Don't touch it with the bare hands. Get your gloves out. And gasoline, most certainly. I'm pretty sure. Because, you know, it involves a benzene ring is a chemical chain. And what happens is that it's toxic to humans. It's toxic to really everything. That's why when there's a defunct gas station and they have to dig up the tanks, it's like a big deal. You got to get a permit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't want that anywhere. You see, gasoline is refined. You know how, you know, I'm just speaking to the choir. You have to refine it. And it's just like distilled. You know, it's like a liquid, like instead of taking, anyway, it's distilled. It's poison. It's just fucking poison. That's why it burns so nicely. Because there's nothing left. It's just straight poison. And anything with a benzene ring, you want to stay away from, because what if it gets into your genes, maybe, you know, it definitely is cancer causing. That's not even an issue. It will give you cancer. It's not if it gives you cancer. It will give you cancer.
No, it's kind of like when us hillbillies had to learn about polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons.
The hard way.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing you know, when hillbillies learn about things like this, we learn about it in hospitals and funeral homes. Not chemistry class.
See, and I started thinking about what you said about the Elk River, and I remember the times when I would go over to West Virginia and, you know, you get off at the airport in Charleston and get your little car and you head out where you have to go. And I don't know what river that is that runs through Charleston, but you know the name of it. What is it?
That's the Great Kanawha.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's still like this, but it's just, I was in awe how barren on either, it's like a valley. When it's this river, it's just barren. The banks of this river are just barren, like something came and just burned everything down. Does it still look like that?
Well, it's been severely managed. Let's put it that way. It doesn't look like that when you get upriver a little bit. It becomes, but you know, it's been industrialized. I mean, my God, at Bell, the huge DuPont installation there, I mean, there's a river bottom, a floodplain there, and it's just taken up with this massive chemical complex.
Right. That's what I remember. Yeah, you can see these retention tanks. I mean, I can almost imagine maybe that was Rockefeller's doing, Standard Oil. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, it's kind of disgusting. But some of the stuff that you were talking about last night reminded me, you know, with the situation in North Dakota about that wonderful woman who was a Shoshone, who gave us a wonderful piece. In my mind, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of American history. That's the Lewis and Clark expedition. Because that was true Americana at its finest, as far as I'm concerned. Because, hey, can you imagine going from the East Coast out to the other side of the continent? You had no idea where you were going. And they would not have made it without that Native woman. And she was a teenager. She was a young teenager. They wouldn't have made it. And these assholes have the nerve, after everything else. What up? How you doing? Who, the Eagles? I know. Fuck the Cowboys. No, they didn't ask me. When they said they were America's team, they didn't ask me. Fuck them. Don't let me see you later, bitch. I'm just fucking with you, man. I'm fucking. Oh. I didn't know that.
Funny how I mentioned the Eagles and the Cowboys a little bit ago.
That's a big deal. He was right up. I was out hollering at you. All right. Yeah, whatever. Well, you know. I don't like this shit, America. Who said they could be America's team? Fuck them. You see that stadium? My God, man. How much did that shit cost? That shit's ridiculous.
Now, well, how much did that shit cost the people of, you know, Dallas?
I mean, no, I'm Texas. Serious now.
And hey, and remember, it's got the largest in-stadium jail complex of any NFL stadium.
So they're ready. No, but seriously, that there's just too much money running around in Dallas. Oh my God, to devote. And we all know, if you've done any research, that stadium, you know, the concessions and the taxes they give to these folks, it's a losing proposition because the NFL pays no taxes. They're like a church; they pay no taxes. Somehow they finagled their way out of that. You already know that.
Yep.
Everybody knows that. Okay, so we're talking about toxicity. So yeah, second, you know, I mean, that's one of the most beautiful stories of American history because you couldn't write anything like that. That's amazing. In my mind, I mean, that is amazing. If you've ever been out in the woods camping, like you ever been out in a canoe, like in the middle of nowhere where you have to ford, you have to pick the shit up with your wet packs and walk all that shit. Like from the river stops, and you don't even know where the fuck
you're going. Yeah. I've done that.
That's work. That is no joke. What? That is fucking work, man.
Let's see. Portage. Portage. That's the word we're looking for.
Yeah, portage. Right. Where water, you know, the river, I mean, there'll still be a river, but you have to go around the hook, the bend in the river, if you even know where you've got to go. And most likely you have to go through briars, you know, it's no fun. And mosquitoes are thick where you can breathe them in, you know, all that type of thing. They wouldn't have made it without her help because, you know, she knew all the plants to eat. And because there was a Philadelphia doctor that sent them out there with something that was supposed to, I can't remember his name now, he's a famous doctor.
Crafted these patent medicines and sent them out there
right.
with a few gallons of laudanum just for a good measure, right?
Right, and these little pellets would basically blow out pills. Like it was just diarrhea, you know, in case they ingested something. I mean, that was the best they could do, but you know, because that's what Western medicine had to offer, you know. And the reason I bring this up is that
Dr. Benjamin Rush.
Rush, his name is famous all over, right? Benjamin Rush, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because he was friends, you know, all those guys are friends with Ben Franklin, who started the University of Pennsylvania. They got the Rush, you know, Rush this, Rush that, blah, blah, blah.
And, of course, don't forget that Agnes's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was drinking buddies with Ben Franklin and that bunch.
Right, right.
John Bartram.
Bartram Gardens, right.
America's first naturalist, and it's one of my hopes and dreams to someday take Agnes to Bartram's Gardens.
Well, if you'd really do that, I would encourage you to get out to Audubon also. And when we first moved out to the suburbs, we lived in this place called Audubon, and that's John James Audubon. The Audubon's bird sanctuary is out there, and it really is amazing. You know, and his paintings, you've seen Audubon's paintings, but yeah, Bartram Gardens, Audubon, but you know, they're fixing all that up now. They're trying to get a trail along the Schuylkill River. They were building it when I left. It's going longer and longer. You know, this trail to rail thing is really taking off. But I just don't understand these folks out west, because you would think, devoid of politics, you would think they would have some type of humanity and say, well, let's see, we've been shitting on these people forever. We tried to kill them by legislation, literally kill them, exterminate them. And we kept lying to them about treaties. And this is why I got confused last night, you know, a little bit, because I don't understand how they got an easement. But how do you get an easement when you know that is their burial ground? Or that's their, but she said it was ceded land.
Yes. No, it's unceded land.
Oh, unceded land. Right. That's why I was confused. Okay. Because when you cede something, you give it over. You give it over to someone.
Yeah, CEDE. Yes. This is unceded territory.
But, okay. Well, you know what? What if these petroleum companies really are really buying into the fresh water? In other words, what if they know what they're doing? And then they get the corner of the market on fresh water because they know they're going to pollute everything because pipes leak. You know?
Yeah.
That's a big mess.
Well, just remember what the CEO of Nestle said a few years back. Water is not a human right.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. No, seriously. About Nestle, some people think that's a conspiracy theory, but Nestle is draining the Great Lakes just because they can. You know that, right?
Well, I know they've got their, a number of people have their eyes on the Great Lakes because the Great Lakes is, what, one-tenth of the fresh water on planet Earth?
Absolutely. It's the largest, I think it's the largest in one.
I mean, there is still stunningly clean water up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and as long as you're not around where they've iron mined the living fuck all out of Minnesota, there's some pretty clean stuff there too.
And you know, if you're lucky enough to fly across, anybody who's lucky enough to fly across country where maybe the weather is such that you have to fly low. When you hit near Chicago, it is amazing. You look down, it's like, wow, that's why they're called the Great Lakes. You can see it.
The first time I saw Lake Superior, you know, you kind of realize, these aren't lakes. These are what are called inland seas. You know, they can change weather patterns. That's not a lake. That's a sea. But then, you know, the rest of the upper Midwest, you know, all those places where the glaciation carved out those softer spots in the earth and created all these lakes of varying size. Mm-hmm. You know, the two lakes that more or less surround Madison, Wisconsin. If there's a more beautiful area for a college campus than Madison, Wisconsin, I don't know what it is.
I've just seen pictures, but yeah, it is. It's Lake Michigan and might be Superior, maybe. I don't know. No, not Superior. I don't know.
No. Madison isn't anywhere. No, Madison is inland from the Great Lakes, but there are two lakes that surround it. And you
really?
Know, yeah, they're natural lakes carved out by the glaciers.
Like the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, I guess. Okay. Well, you know.
And to eat fresh fish caught out of those? Oh, my God.
And, you know, I hear you talk about this wild rice, and I don't know how many rice eaters listen to the program. But, you know, it's amazing. I mean, like, a lot of people, they just like the regular old white rice, which I don't eat anymore because there's too many other options. But wild rice is special. I mean, it is
well, for starters, because it's not rice.
Well, there you go. It tastes nutty. I mean,
it's a grass seed, and it is wonderfully nutritious and right, and has next to nothing in common with rice.
Why do they call it rice?
White people.
Well, I got no response to that. All I'm saying.
The things I was told up there, like to cook it, you know, not with salt or anything, just you know, cook it, and you know, it plumps up. The native word for it means actually berry, not you know, grain or anything, but you know, it plumps up real nice, and to mix that into pancake batter. It just makes for something wonderful.
I'm going to try that.
Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa reminds us the NFL's tax-free status ended in 2015.
Oh, good. So that's recently. I guess people started thinking, because that was a big, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people understood that. I didn't know. I just found out a couple years ago. Yeah, that makes no sense. Man, I lose all the paraphernalia they sell. Why should they be tax-free? Well, good. I say very good for that. You know, one more thing, since we're talking about food. Do you remember the toaster ovens that most of us grew up with back in the day?
Oh, yes.
You know...
Still got
like
one.
The electric, still got one. Okay. Well, you know how it's just like the old-timey electric heaters where it's just basically electric coil wrapped around ceramic and the fan, well, not on a toaster oven, but you know,
yep.
Just wrapped around. Okay, so there's a new generation now, and they're cheap. I got one for Christmas last year, and they're amazing. I mean, they are amazing. You can get them at Big. I don't know if you have Big Lots where you are, but you can get one at Big Lots for $20. And you know, because where I am, it's so hot in the summer. I hate to cut the oven on to compete with the air.
No, because it'll run you out of the house.
But it'll run you out. It's already, you know. Come on, man. I can't afford to cool this house off there because it is. And yeah, so. These toaster ovens, they have an element. It looks like, you remember those quartz heaters from the 80s?
Oh, yeah, the quartz tube heaters.
Okay, well, that's what they use. And they're black, a genuine Black & Decker toaster oven. They are amazing. And you can cut a chicken in half. You can cook half a chicken in this thing.
I'll tell you the other thing I noticed the other day. The new generation of pressure cookers. You know, pressure cookers used to be kind of an adventure.
That's what I heard.
Because if you let things go, you got a bomb in your kitchen. I remember seeing one friend's house where a pressure cooker full of brown beans had exploded. I think they were digging beans out of parts of that kitchen for years. But there's a new generation of them that, you know, they have their own heat source. You plug them in and set the temperature, and it doesn't blow up. You know,
their own heat source.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're electric.
Oh.
So you don't have them sitting you don't have them sitting on the burner, and they don't blow up. Unlike, you know, say the Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
Yeah. Well.
Had to work that in there.
That sounds great.
Are really they're really really neat, and yeah, I thought when you said, you know, you pop it, you can pop a whole chicken in that son of a gun, and you're well on the way to make an awesome chicken soup.
Yeah, you know, that's important because I remember it wasn't that long ago where I had a hot plate, and I had one hot plate, not two, one. And because if I plugged in two, it would you know, trip the circuit breaker. And, you know, you had to learn to just eat casserole because that's about all you could do. And I didn't have one of these nice new toaster ovens or a nice new pressure cooker. But, and, you know, you have to work with what you have and be happy with it, like the Native Americans did, man. And they knew more than we know, you know. If you think about it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sustainability.
While we're on gadgets, you know, those deep-fried turkeys are wonderful, but the deep-fried turkey fryers are terrifying. And, you know, now they've got the electric infrared turkey fryers.
Say what?
Yeah, and they're real cool.
How does that work?
Heat source in the walls of the fryer, and you put it in there and turn it on and walk away.
Because I've had the deep-fried turkey, and it makes all the seasoning just get through the meat, and it's not greasy, and it just comes out just wonderfully, you know?
Yeah, but it's also terrifying.
Well, yeah, when you drop it, I've seen it. I've seen the burns on people, you know, if it has too much water on it.
Agnes wouldn't let me have one.
That's because you have a good wife. No.
Yeah, two things. Turkey fryers and motorcycles. Agnes say no.
Well, there's always balance. Yin and yang, you know? Yin and yang. Well, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about seconds away and just, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, the things I've read. When they got out there in the wilderness, because they had a slave with them. I forget his name, Jim or John or something like that. But everybody had an equal vote. You know, by the time he came back, it was,
and he got one, man. Too, yeah.
You know, that's America. That's what America's supposed to be about. You know, not this nonsense we're putting up with now. And that shit that you fucking mentioned about 12 or 18 minutes ago, I have no idea, about what Nate Silver said in the percentage, 17% spike?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Well, see, that's a problem. And I don't know if you, look, in Philadelphia, there's a transit strike now. It started at 12 o'clock this morning at midnight. So if they don't solve that, that's going to be a problem for some people. You know, I mean, because, you know, in the city, polling places are within, you know, you can walk to your polling place. However, it's going to take longer to get home, you know, because a lot of people take transit to work, public transit. So, it, you know, there's all kinds of little games going on. You know, this is not in the bag at all. And, you know, I know you don't tell people how to vote, but damn it, this is not the time to play around and be idealistic. This is not the time at all, period. No, you want to be idealistic.
Idealism is for primaries are for idealism. General elections are for realism.
Can't say it any better than that. And bad Bob, man, that's some bad shit.
How do you want your horse? Blue.
Makes you want to go out and punch a horse.
Oh yeah, well, the visual though with him with Stacy Keach with that long flowing white hair standing there just eating an onion that he's pulled up out of the ground. Man,
oh,
that's powerful.
That's insane.
Cook it up and smother it in onions. Blue.
Have you seen Westworld?
The new one? No, I saw the movie years ago, but I haven't. I, you know, no HBO, man.
Well, I don't have it either, but there's a link out there that you can find if you dig a little bit. Yeah, this new one is, I remember the old one, I was a little kid, but the new one has Anthony Hopkins in it. It's got the guy from Nafis from Boardwalk Empire. And Michael Crichton is amazing. There's just so much you can do with this. I think they're on the cusp of getting renewed for another season, but this thing will suck you in. It's the same plot. It's just, it is added to it, you know. If I lose this link, that's gonna be sad, because I have to go to my neighbor's house, and I'll be like, well, I'm sneaking here tonight, I'm watching this, because it comes on late, you know. But oh my God, Westworld, you'll hear people talk about it. It's pretty good. There's so much you can do with it. You know, it's the same plot. It's just
I've seen a lot of people talking. It's getting the same kind of buzz that Game of Thrones initially got.
I believe it's on that level. I mean, Anthony Hopkins, he doesn't take any bad roles. I don't remember any bad movies that he had. I really don't. And he's not going to beat many fava beans in this one. But I don't know. It's too early to tell. Hey, man, you take it easy.
All right, Todd, you have yourself a good evening, man. It's always good talking to you.
You too, buddy.
Later.
All right.
Bye now. From South Carolina, Stan, that's our buddy. Todd, and yeah, Madison, Lake Monona and Mendota. Michael in Madison writes in, Lake Monona to the southeast and the much larger Mendota to the northwest. The Capitol building is located on the highest point of the isthmus. Buildings in the downtown area by state law cannot obstruct view of the Capitol dome. One can walk from one lake to another about 9 to 10 blocks across the isthmus in 15 minutes because, well, you know, Madison is an isthmus. Okay, so I didn't mention it before because I didn't see it. There's a challenge on the table because we always want to encourage new people to enter the conversation. And the challenge that is on the table, there's a $50 challenge on the table to finish up fundraising for the evening for a first-time caller. So, how about that? Listen, you've listened to the horn for years and years and years, and you said, one of these days I'm going to call, one of these days I'm going to call, one of these days I'm going to call. And, well, there it is. There's a $50 challenge on the table for a first-time caller. Meanwhile, back to the mailbag. Tracy writes in, subject line, white people. Wandering through Wally World and listening to you and Todd, damn near peed my pants when you were explaining about wild rice and when he asked you why, your simple response of white people damn near killed me, and now you're talking about adventures in cooking, exploding pressure cookers. You're killing me, Bob. Meanwhile, Asa notes, I've come home to seeing some food on the ceiling, kitchen ceiling in my day. I know people who were terrified of pressure cookers. Agnes is not a fan. My mother wielded a pressure cooker as an art form. I mean, that thing would sit there, and I mean, it would begin to rattle on the burner on the stove, and whackada whackada, and that little pressure relief hickey that sat on the top would clackety 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 clackety, and whoa, and then just and it was the best pot of brown beans you ever had in your life. Subject line, Sea Stories, from Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steve. The First Lady was a guest just last week at the commissioning ceremony for the U.S. Navy's latest addition to the submarine fleet, the USS Illinois, and one of the most powerful and sophisticated war machines on the planet. This big boat purportedly has cost the taxpayers in the neighborhood of $3 billion to build. How many tuition-free scholarships do you suppose that kind of money buys in America these days? I mean, if anyone were actually, you know, serious about funding them. How many nutritious school lunches? How many nutritious school lunches could that sort of spare change purchase? Or free prescription drugs for old people dying with incurable and painful conditions, or little babies who just need a chance at a healthy life in the first place. Quite a shitload of things needful, I imagine. And we're not just talking one big nuclear-powered vessel here. This one's been under construction and outfitting since 2011. These sorts of machines are years in development and actual construction. This newest member of the fleet will be undergoing sea trials and other necessary testing before finally going on her first patrol. There are something like a dozen of these vessels under construction or on the drawing boards. And the last one won't even be completed until sometime after 2025 or so. How many billions of dollars is that? And how committed to a course of action does a nation have to be in order to plan and fund and realize such massive defense projects? How many years does it take to go from kindergarten and all the way through graduate school, anyway? About a dozen or more big, shiny, spanking, brand-new killer submarines of years, I'd say. And we wonder, we stand agape at what transpires in the world today, in our politics, in our politicians, and we pretend to not know why the wealthiest ones invest in industries that produce poison and toxic waste that blow the tops off our mountains and condemn future generations to hell on Earth. Welcome aboard, sailor! Regards, Steve in China. Yeah, see, we can afford things. It's that we choose not to afford them. That's a function of political will. And hey, if we can all just get depressed and disgusted by the political system and walk away, then make it they can build more submarines and more children can go hungry. Cool, huh? Hey, let's run over to the stress line. Could this be a first-time caller? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hello?
Oh, good. I got through. Let me turn the radio down.
Yeah, please. And don't use the speakerphone.
No, this is a secondhand iPhone.
Okay, cool. Well, it's working so far. Who am I talking to?
My name is Russell. I'm in Wilmington, Delaware.
Awesome.
I happened by chance to come across your radio station, and it's the most informative thing being broadcast.
That is mighty kind of you to say. Thank you very kindly.
I had to give up on MSNBC and CNN with the constant propaganda. Everything was Clinton, Trump, Clinton, Trump. And I thought I was, you know, living on a different dimension. Like, what happened to the rest of the world? So it's either you or the Weather Channel for anything informative.
I'm hoping maybe, well, I mean, that's pretty tough competition, the Weather Channel. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't like the Weather Channel.
Well, like it or not, you need to pay attention to it.
Well, I mean, it's handy when they at least acknowledge that, you know, these weather disasters seem to be piling up a bit more and more. They don't like to talk about climate change a lot, but it's kind of hard to avoid, isn't it?
Well, I'm looking forward to 75-degree temperatures on the East Coast for Thanksgiving and maybe in the low 50s for Christmas Eve.
It's not entirely unlikely. Although I was doing a little reading a couple of days ago, and apparently some folks, some experts are predicting a nasty-ass, brutal winter with the polar vortex sliding way south again. And that's what, you know, that's what hammered us in 2014.
Well, hopefully not, because if it snows, I get a call from my sister down the street asking me to help clear it. She was in an auto accident, and when you're the older brother, you get drafted to different duties, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, so you've got a good snow shovel laid in?
Yeah, you know, put the boots on, put the coat on, and, you know, just take my time, because I'm not as young as I used to be. Just take my time and just deal with 3 or 4 feet of snow, just make a path, clear the sidewalk. That kind of thing.
I learned my lesson the hard way. I bought one of those snow shovels with a plastic blade on it. Yeah, that was one winter. And the next winter, by God, yeah, metal. Thank you. Yes. And lesson learned.
The stuff you put on the passion pans in your pan to keep the food from sticking?
Yeah.
Spray some of that on a shovel.
No kidding.
To keep the ice and snow from sticking.
I'll be dipped.
And I tried it. And I said, damn, dude, spray from the kitchen right to the garage, just inside and outside, hand to the rest. And there's probably a whole lot of other little hints like that that the women are sitting on, not telling the men. There's an easier way to do that. I mean, we're having the babies. That's the hard work. But there's an easy way for you guys to do some of this other stuff that they're holding back on.
Yeah, spray some Pam. I never would have thought of that. I think that's brilliant. You will probably get on your first call, you'll probably get fan mail. You're going, damn, I didn't. That or else, you know, the people who live in hardcore winter country will go, well, hell yeah, we've been doing that for a long time.
Tell somebody.
That's awesome.
Well, let me let you go. I'm glad I got through. I enjoy your show tremendously. And one day when I get my finances together, probably like next month, maybe I'll, you know, send in a sponsorship or something.
Oh, that would be great. But don't let that hold you back from calling. Welcome to the community. I hope we'll hear more from you.
I'll try to. Take care. My best to everybody. Don't forget to vote. Vote for somebody. Do not stay home.
Hear, hear. There's a bunch of stuff going on down ballot, too. Well, thank you very kindly, Russell. I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, take care, guys. Everybody be good.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Brand new caller, member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, from whom I had never heard. That's Russell in Delaware. And that's it. Love having new callers. Because there's no footlights for me to try to sneak a glance beyond here. We have this little community. I don't even begin to know who all's in it until, you know, one way or another I hear from you. By the way, Scott and Punky out in San Diego, subject line, pressure cooker. My mom used hers to make the most amazing chicken and dumplings ever. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dumplings. Yeah. Because, see, that's the key to dumplings is a proper steaming. Yeah, that'd work. That would work. I thought I was going to open it up and find out that chicken and dumplings had been, you know, as Asa mentioned, found on the ceiling or something. But, yeah. Yeah. Yummy. So, let's see. What else? Oh, no. What I was saying about the polar vortex. The Think Progress article notes that the polar vortex that hit in 2014 whacked about $5 billion in canceled flights, infrastructure repairs, higher energy bills, you know, out of people's pockets. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that a weak and shifting polar vortex is more likely in North America beginning in the late winter and into early spring. They also note that historic hot weather may continue for the Southwest. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, again, according to Think Progress, predicts a warm, dry winter for much of the country. As of a prediction issued in the U.S. Winter Outlook last week. The point being, though, when the polar vortex drops, it gets bitterly, brutally, hatefully cold. Let's see. No, that one we save for tomorrow. I've been waiting for a Rick Wiles update. Because, after all, it was Halloween yesterday. And we didn't hear anything this year about Gator the dog barking at the blow-up spider. But that doesn't mean Rick Wiles has been quiet, him and his Trenews, T-R-U-N-E-W-S. Trenews. And Rick Wiles is such an American-loving patriot that, well, he kind of digs the idea of a military coup.
You're 1 week out now, and you have one of the presidential candidates under investigation by the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I don't know. This is unprecedented. This is unbroken ground.
Oh, this is the biggest scandal in U.S. history.
The FBI director is now under investigation.
Yes.
Who is? Wait. Did you catch that? Biggest scandal in U.S. history. Teapot Dome? Bullshit. Watergate? Tempest in a teapot. See what I did there? Teapot Dome, tempest in a teapot. I don't just say things. No. The fact that there were emails that Hillary Clinton did not send that were on Anthony Weiner's hard drive. Biggest scandal in history. Here we get the notion that these people have like priority and scope problems. Perspective issues, if you will.
Investigating the presidential candidate
of the Democratic Party, the wife of the former president of the United States.
Who was investigated beforehand and was impeached. And
for what? For what purpose? For lying?
For lying under oath.
No, for getting a blowjob.
You guys have to admit, you have been calling for the investigation into Comey.
Yes.
For a long time.
Yes. And let it happen.
Yes.
Because I think Comey is in trouble.
Well, Fiora, I'm hoping Comey comes to the light side. I'm hoping Comey flips on them, you know, maybe does something to redeem himself on this. But can you just imagine what will come out in this shakeup? You know, again, Weiner has flipped and Comey flips.
The 650,000 emails potentially have enough evidence to bring down the entire political establishment, including the Republican Party.
But Pastor, realistically, can anything happen in 7 days? I mean, there's no indictments that are going to come down in 7 days.
The U.S. military may make arrest. Don't count that out.
Hmm. The U.S. military may make arrests. Don't count that out. Because, you know, the U.S. military can do that on U.S. soil. Not. But, you know, that's what he's, you know, praying for. U.S. military make arrests. Because we'd kind of have to have a military dictatorship for that to happen. And maybe the military dictatorship could round up all the homos and the trans people and the liberals and the progressives and the feminists and the tree huggers. And then Merca could be great again. Golly, Sergeant Carter. See what I did there, Sergeant Carter? You know what? I got to thank you. I do. I have to go pick up Margie at work. I'm probably going to knock off a few minutes early just because so often I leave her. She has to wait on me to get there, and, you know, I feel bad about that. But I have to thank you. I have to extend profound thanks to you. Because as I said at the beginning of this program, today was a real turd. Today, I mean, every day above the ground is a good one, okay? You can get all Voltaire about this, you know, it's the best of all possible worlds and that kind of stuff. And life is good, and I try to remind myself of that. But sometimes, it's a real fucking chore. And today, just bit. For not a lot of reasons, just a couple. Because that's all it takes, is a couple of things. I mean, I remember one time many years ago in college, I went out to find out that I had two, not one, but two slashed tires. One, you know, you can put the spare on. This was somebody who was really having fun and did two. And so starting at like about, you know, 8 in the morning. I just wandered around Morgantown trying to sort these problems out, going, what a fucking day! And I probably haven't had one of those till today. Because that's all, today has just been one long monologue of me going, what a fucking day! But I sat down here at 5 o'clock Eastern time in the studio, started doing stuff to get ready for the program. It just felt like, there was, iron stage weights on my shoulders. And when I was talking to Thomas on Sunday evening, he said, man, some nights it's got to be right next to impossible to get in behind the microphone and just turn the thing on, but you know you have to. And I said, yeah, little knowing that Tuesday would be one of those days. But by God, I hotted up the mic. I knew you were there. And for whatever you say about how this program helps keep you sane, you do that for me, pressed down and shaken together. And so, I simply say, thank you for taking an absolutely toxic day for me and making it exponentially better. Thank you. That having been said, let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey. Okay, so I'm going to make your day even more because I'm going to do a little food porn.
Yes.
How about that?
Okie dokie.
So yesterday, because, trick-or-treaters, and yesterday was officially my first time handing out candy, and it went well. Not one child from my neighborhood, because I saw a couple of kids in Trump costumes. So I'm like, mm-hmm. But there's a lot of Hispanic families, and there's they did like I used to do when Alex was little. So we would go to Woodland Hills and the like, because, you know, it was a better candy. And y'all heard what I was making, what I was buying for candy. So, you know, Jan's like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah, by the way, we got in some serious shit with Ron and Raleigh for dissing on Kit Kats.
But I bought Kit Kats. I bought Ron.
Yeah, but we dissed. We dissed Kit Kats.
Yeah, they are kind of dull, but they have their purpose. There's chocolate.
No, see, I'm going to get another email now because you said they're dull.
Well, they're efficient. I don't know. I'm not a wordsmith like you, so I can't clean it up. So I'm sorry, Ron. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. So back to the food porn. So I decided that I was going to make dinner. So I made spaghetti and meatballs that I made it yesterday morning, and it had been simmering all day yesterday.
Oh.
And because I cooked the meatballs in the oven, and then I use ground pork sausage and ground beef. You know, what I do is I saute. See, I was also cleaning up my refrigerator, so I have some tomatoes in there. The grape tomatoes and Roma tomatoes. So I'm like, well, you know what? Let's do those two. So I start off with olive oil with my garlic and my onions and my mushrooms. Then I threw in the tomatoes for good measure. And that let go saute. And then I did in a separate pan my ground pork sausage and my ground beef in another pan. And so, you know, get, you know, the oregano, the parsley as parsley, sage, rosemary. Anyway, so except for the sage.
Yeah, hold the rosemary.
And hold the rosemary, yeah. But so that much. So I did all that, and you know, got the lowry season salt, and, you know, and oregano and all that. So all that simmering and cooking, and then I get out the four cheese mix, you know, that they sell at the store. That they call it, you know, depending on where you buy it. Some, you know, if it's Vaughn's, it's the Italian cheese mix, and if it's Ralph's, it's the pizza mix. Whatever, I don't care. It's just very yummy, and I did like a kind of a. I got some heavy whipping cream and mix that in there too. So I got a cream, you know, cheesy, creamy base. And like I said, and all that cooked. Yeah, so oh, and then like I said, the meatballs are cooking in the oven. Once everything was cooking, and then I threw the meatballs. You know, after I browned up everything else, I threw the meatballs in and just let it simmer all day. Oh, and then of course when I got home. I sauteed some garlic in butter and browned the garlic a little bit and then mixed that in regular butter and did that spread on sourdough bread and then toasted that.
Woohoo!
Uh-huh. It was fun, Bob. And then I got to hand out candy. And, it was awesome seeing, you know.
Wait. Yeah, but where was the part where you worshipped Satan for a little while?
Well, no, we did have some kids come up, you know, in culturally appropriate, you know, costumes because they are Hispanic, so they can dress up, you know, with Day of the Dead costumes and, you know. There was this one little boy that came out dressed with the elotes, the guys that walk around with the carts with the cord on the cob and the sticks and stuff like that. Oh, it was fun. So that one white kid... Not one white kid here, and I live in the whitest neighborhood. I mean, Jen and I, seriously, I mean, Alex and I are the darkest people on our block. And not one of our neighbors stopped at our house, which is fine. I don't care.
Well, you know, they figured you were probably just giving out chitterlings for Halloween or something.
Right. Or, you know, yeah, chitterlings or something, you know, culture.
I'm going to hell, Tracy. I am. So, you know, I apologize. That was just awful.
No. Or what is it? Pork rinds with hot sauce. What?
Nothing. Not a damn thing. Tracy.
You heard what I had. We had, like, who said it? That the only reason for Halloween is snack size Snickers. Not snack size, fun size. There's a difference.
A long time ago, our youngest declared that fun size anything is bullshit because there's nothing fun about a small piece of Snickers.
No, but it is because, see, you could justify eating the whole bag.
Yeah, but that's a grown-up concept. That is not a kid concept, Tracy.
I know. But the kids, it was so great because these kids, you know, and I'm not going to assume that they came from, you know, poor, you know, neighborhoods, but I know what I used to do back in the day with Alex. We were broke as hell. Okay. Most of his costumes came from, I remember one year he went as a Black Panther. Yeah. I had some old black gloves, leather black gloves. I found a beret and a leather coat and a black turtleneck, and he was a Black Panther. You hear me? It's a black shade. Look, and, you know, and that was back when he was wearing a fro. So it was, look, I was not above cutting holes in a sheet for you know, but I couldn't, it's not like we had a lot of sheets, so it's not like I could, you know, cut too many holes in, you know, sheets, because, you know, we probably had a pair, maybe two sets of sheets between me and him, so, you know, we weren't cutting the holes in those sheets. But so it's like, you know, it was just fun watching the kids, and you know, light up and bright up. We're not, you know, and the best one was this guy. He had his, you know, he had his kids, and then he had a baby, you know, in the baby carrier, right? And the baby had a candy bag. I said, okay, homie, you know, that this is not for this baby. It's for you. He's like, what? I don't know. I said, come on. I said, I ain't mad at you. This, you know, don't front like it's for the baby, because the baby ain't got no teeth. Man, he hollered, you know. and I'm pretty sure he wasn't expecting, you know, overweight, crazy black woman with locks in the casino opening the door. You know, and I think that was I think my Hispanic friends that came, I'm making them my friends, but I'm pretty sure I was probably the most fun they probably had, you know, coming into Encino, because I figured that's what's going to happen, because we live right off of Balboa Boulevard, and, you know, like I said, it's a okay, nice neighborhood. I'm doing better than we were in Sherman Oaks, but still. But then the fun part came when, okay, so I asked Jan, I'm like, because she took a powder. She went and hid in the bedroom because, you know, Kim was still not company ready, and she jumps on people, so she went and hid in the bedroom until it was all over. And I said, baby, you know, she came out to check on me, leaving Kim in the bedroom. I said, well, how long does this go on? Because I'm tired, and I'm really getting tired of sitting. Every time I get real comfortable with sitting, and I had, you know, my second beer by then, so it's like, oh, okay, and the food was settling, and the eyelids were getting heavy, so I'm like, how long does this go on? And she's like, oh, baby, you know, you're good. It's almost, it was like, about this time, it's probably about 8:30, 8:40. And she's like, you can shut it down. And she's like, the trick is what you do when you're tired and you're ready, you just turn off the light off the porch. The porch light is like, we'll keep a light on for you, you know, with Motel 6. So that's the official, like, don't, you can either, if my light is on, you can come to my door. If the light is off, keep it moving. So about after, so this went on, I started giving out candy around 6-ish. Not too long after I finished talking to you. And so I got home and did the candy and had dinner ready, and it was awesome. It was fun. Unfortunately, we didn't decorate, the only thing decoration we had for Halloween this year was some lone pumpkin. Because, you know, we're still unpacking. So, you know, we're going to be ready next year. We're going to do the whole, you know, blow up things and scarecrows, you know, the whole thing. You know, I'm excited about that. So I'm helping you end the show on a happy note, because I don't like it when you're upset, because, you know, we call, you know, we listen to the, not that you're not allowed to be upset, vent, baby, vent, but I like it so much better when you're smiling and you're cracking jokes. And I hope, you know, and I'm glad what you said, that, you know, we keep, as much as you keep us sane, we keep you sane as well. So I'm glad to help out with that. Oh, I got a challenge.
Yes.
Okay, so for every new subscriber up until Veterans Day, up to, you know, three, you know, up to 10 subscribers, for every new subscriber up to 10, up till Veterans Day, I will put $5 on that. So, yeah, that's $50.
Okay, cool. So theoretically, between now and Election Day, somebody could get their subscription bumped by their first month subscription bumped by $16.
Right.
Veterans Day conveniently falls. Now, are we taking the actual Veterans Day, or are we taking the Monday holiday?
No, the actual Veterans Day.
Okay, so that actually falls on a Friday on the front porch. So that times out perfectly.
Absolutely friggin' perfect. Well, I know it's time for you to go. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. And I hope, you know, my craziness help lift you, make your day a little, turn your frown upside down.
It is. It's upside down. I mean, I'm standing on my head, Tracy. It has to be.
Well, you know, like I said, I love you and appreciate you. And I know I'm not the only one. And shout out to Thomas and Todd, especially Thomas on that Jill Stein bullshit. I'm so glad somebody, because I read that article and I meant to send it to you, but I figured somebody else in the Horn family, that conniving, hypocritical, sniveling. Anyway, on that note.
Indeed. Tracy, have a lovely evening.
You too, my love. Take care.
Bye now. And it does. It ends on a happy note. And I got to get out of here, because now Margie's going to be waiting on me. So y'all have a wonderful evening, and I'll be back for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. And we've got a Lulu. One note before I go out the door. from John in North Carolina, Stan. Talking about one of those days, I got home from work this morning to find that my septic is backing up. I knew it was nearly full, but I was trying to just make it till tax time to pump it. Well, now I have to come up with $300 to have it pumped. I don't have. Now I'm at work with no shower, and that sucks in and of itself. At least I can escape from my shit for 6 hours each night. For that, I thank you and Thomas. I like Malloy, but I can't hear PV, so I've started listening to FYI after you. So anyway, thank you for doing what you do, Bob. Thank you for your note, John. We're all in this together one way or another. Like I said, one of my favorite movie lines comes from the movie John Sayles Movie Mate 1. All we got in common is our misery, Joe Keenihan used to say. So the least we can do is share it. Hear, hear. Always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.